Okay, we're working through chapter 10, which has to do with the literature. You guys do your homework? Did you find any books? We'll talk about books in a minute. I got a bunch.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Yeah, I am, actually. That's what I'm going to do. I am.
Really?
Yeah. I'll explain it when we get through the questions. Okay, true or false? The good is always the friend of the best. And we're talking about spiritual literature. If it's good, it's the friend of the best.
I don't think that's true.
False.
Yeah,
false.
It's false. Absolutely. It's always been the enemy of the best. Why?
Because you're still dealing with the wrong source.
Mm-hmm. This is the best, right here. So, I think the Word of God should be the basis on which our study and reading is, and then the other books and things that we become acquainted with should all be verified via the Word of God. It's never the other way around, and there are a lot of people that do it the other way around, that they read what they consider to be good authors or good literature, and then one day they find in the Bible that the Bible contradicted what their favorite author said. Makes them nervous. So, anyway. So, you should always seek to learn the Word of God. Okay. Two, true or false? In conjunction with deeper life literature, as an aid to spiritual growth, is the Word.
False.
Yeah. So, I really just turned the question around, is what I did. That the greatest aid to spiritual growth comes through deeper life literature. Now, the problem today is that you cannot, it's hard to find good material. And as you'll see, some of those books I brought today that I've searched on the web and found, some of them are pretty ratty. They're pretty well used, you know. So it's hard to find the literature, although I'm of a mind that every believer, especially a group like us who has spent a year going through the complete Green Letters, we should have in our possession at least a basic deeper life library of maybe the books I'll talk to you about today, plus some good commentaries and things like that. You know, John Darby, some of the brethren guys, just so you have reference material, not only for yourself, but to lend to somebody else. It's really important, I think, to have decent literature. Now, Miles' stuff is good, and it's readily available. You know, Miles Stanford's stuff. And he not only has Green Letters and stuff, but he has lots of other materials. And so if you need them, see me. I'm the guy. I do. Miles' stuff. I keep them in print. You know, that's what I do. And you'll find that there are other guys around, like there's a couple of people in the United States that keep T. Austin Sparks stuff available. Some of the, there used to be more brethren distribution houses in Owazo, the printers, and those kept a lot of stuff, but they're out of business. So the great asset is the internet, to go on the internet and find where this stuff is available, you know. Because sometimes a 100-page book can explain something to somebody much better than you could, you know. So, true or false, once the best books are discovered, the reader's discernment and requirements keep him from dropping to the level of the secondary. What do you think? Absolutely. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. How long do you think it would take for a young believer who a hungry heart has developed in them, and they begin to enter into the understanding of identification truths, positional truths, deeper life truths? How long do you think it would take them in their study and searching before they could reasonably be able to do this? because it's you know, early on when you're growing, I think you want to read fairly pure stuff. You know what I mean? But then later on, you're going to find books that have certain jewels in them, but not everything in the book is a jewel. So you have to be able to discern to take the good stuff out and disregard the rest. How long do you think it takes to get to there? What do you think?
10, 20 years.
I mean, with the 10th study, I think about 5 years.
Huh? I'm going to give you a break. I think 2 years.
2 years?
I think 2 years, if with... Now listen to the prerequisite. Hungry heart. You're serious, and you're reading, and your appetite for growth material is really there and stays there. A couple of years, and 25 books later, and Bible studies and that kind of thing, I think you at least begin to be, Miles used to call you safe, in the sense that you could read something and say, oh, I found a really good chapter in here, but the next three weren't very good. You see that? And that comes with knowing the truth and being able to separate what's of the truth and what isn't. You know, it's the old theory, if you work for the government and you're in a Secret Service in counterfeiting, what do you study? You study all the counterfeits? No. What do you
study?
You study the real thing. And the reason you do that is because when the counterfeit comes, you can recognize it. The earthly viewpoint would be is to study all the counterfeits. And that's not true. If you know the real thing, then you know what isn't, you know. It's the same thing with personal intimacy with Christ. As you grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus, you'll reject what's not of Him. Not because it's legal, it's just because it isn't of Him, you know. And it may not necessarily be sinful, but it isn't Him. You see that? Okay.
Yeah, like 2 years or whatever. It's not like in 2 years you've attained it. You know, mm-hmm. Back with you say, I think you've read the Green Letters 35 times.
Yeah.
I 30 times.
Sure.
You know, I still think after 2 years you don't have it, and then can go off into never never.
Oh, right.
And you know, I think you still have to have, you know, kind of the grounding all the time.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And the the constant, teaching of the foundational truths,
mm-hmm.
and going through that all the time.
It's a constant process of maturing, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In it. But what I think what you said was to be able to answer these questions and see what's true and false.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about two years.
Here's one of the books that every believer ought to have, and it's a Newell's commentary, verse by verse, by W.R. Newell. This is a new one. This is my copy. And I have been through this thing so many times. Look at it. You know? That's what you're talking about. Here's another thing. When you hang around with, like I do, with Vern and Hal and Roger, we are constantly contacting each other and saying, well, what do you think about this? This is what I think about this subject. What do you think? And so what you find is as you grow, you become much more submissive to those that you respect, that study and like you do, you know. And you may ask their opinion and not agree with them, you know. But you understand what I'm saying? Like I may call up Courtney and say, hey, Courtney, this is what I'm studying. What do you think about this? And just listen, you know. So that comes as you grow, rather than being super opinionated like most of us are when we're young believers. We think we have all the answers, you know.
Like that on a Tuesday study.
Yeah.
I think we get a lot out of a Tuesday study just from, you know, different people who look at it and bring a different facet.
Yeah.
It makes you either sharpen you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, no, that's
yeah.
We disagree on that.
Well, and we've like Tuesday right now, we have a challenge going, and I've had a couple of emails this week about it, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's just terrific, because what I find the Lord does, especially with a men's group like on Tuesday, is that we may, for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, debate different issues, and then 3 weeks from now or something, the Lord will just put it together, and it'll go bang, 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 and it'll all fit, you know? It's really cool. And so the thing that I've learned is to let him have all the leeway he needs within the group for everybody to express whatever they think when they're really trying to learn.
When are you debating?
Well, we're debating an issue that started in here a few weeks ago. Whose job is it to cause you to grow spiritually? Yours or the Holy Spirit's? Well, and here's the other side. Well, I've got to live by faith. So what is it? You know, that's the basic discussion, which is a great one. You know, so true or false? In the early, go ahead.
The just will live by faith.
That's right. In the early stages, the eager Christian never dreams of questioning an author who presents the identification truths. True or false? Yeah, absolutely true. And I remember when I first got introduced to the Green Letters, you know, and then I got to meet Miles Stanford. I thought, oh, man.
You read the Green Letters first and then you met Miles?
Well, let me tell you how we met Miles. I think I was a believer 2 or 3 years. I was going to a Bible study at Cherry Hills Country Club, and the guy that's taught the study...
Oh, is that the one who was here a couple of months ago?
Yeah, the redheaded guy that was mm-hmm. here. He was the teacher. And he was teaching the Green Letters. And we got about halfway through it, and we got stuck. We were trying to figure out what Miles was saying. So one of the other guys, at that time, it was published by this publisher, who is Living Springs Press in Hong Kong, China. Right? So he writes a letter to this guy and says, you know, we're trying to find Miles Stanford, because we got some questions. And the guy writes back, well, Miles Stanford is at 1430 Carr Street in Lakewood, Colorado. We couldn't believe it. So we called him up and went over and met him. And that's how I got here, because he recommended we come to church here. So in studying like that, you know, a young believer who gets hooked up with the Green Letters, you're going to have questions, because he says things in there that you think, wait a minute, what is he talking about? You know? So...
That goes back to my comment to you several times. Is, you know, when you read the Green Letters, it's so radically different. You know, because it's the Jim Jones Strength of Kool-Aid group. It's so much different than what is normally taught that, you know... It's,
yes.
But, I mean... To me, it makes me dig deeper and harder.
That's right.
You know, and is this true? And is it, you know, and it is, it all fits together. That's the thing I think I've expressed to you several times.
Yeah.
You know, now it's, everything comes together.
Yeah.
Where there were bits and pieces that didn't fit. Now
right.
It all fits together.
Yeah.
But it almost becomes a big mathematical equation.
Yeah, it's a lot.
There's no way you can disprove it.
That's right.
If you weigh everything against the other.
Yeah.
That's well, so amazing. And any untruth will root itself out.
Yeah, they will. And what you find is that the practical application of the positional truths you're learning actually work. You understand what I'm saying? That the intimacy with Christ is a reality. That the doctrine backs up your life, and your life backs up the doctrine. That the Word of God is consistent. That it's everything that it's supposed to be, and you don't have to tweak it and bend it and, you know, shove something in there to make your theology fit. And after a while, you think, boy, if I'm doing that, then I'm probably not doing what I should be doing. I'm wrong about that, you know. I should listen and even dig more, like you say.
Well, you know, I think of things like Brian's brother, Mark.
Yeah.
You know, after Roger had given him the Green Letters, and I was, you know, Roger... We were talking about it. I says, finally, Mark came to me, why isn't this taught? Why isn't this, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was like, mm-hmm. you know, it opening his eyes. You know, I think of our daughter Caroline, you know, up in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And much more discernment of the teaching, you know.
Right.
Just, you know, laws and, you know, different things. And,
right.
And, you know, once you start in this and it starts figuring out it, you know, whether it's 2 years or...
Or 10 or 20. Yeah, it is.
Continuous growth of this, but it really is. Once the truth is there, it's really you can start filtering out a lot
yeah.
of stuff. A lot.
Well, when you start tracking grace as opposed to law, then you can smell legalism easily. You know, You can hear those handcuffs from a long way away. You know, you can hear that tyranny coming at you. When you begin to see the grace and the privilege you have as a believer, then you read somebody who would take that privilege away from you by giving you conditions under which you are to obtain those privileges, boy, you can ferret that out right away. You know that at least that part of that person's writing is to be disregarded. You know, at first you can't do that. But once you taste of the real stuff, then what the counterfeit is becomes increasingly more apparent to you. See, it's like, maybe put it this way. I think early on a young believer functions mainly on the Word of God and their conscience, right? Kind of the triggering mechanism. And then after, as you start to grow, you begin to realize that even your conscience isn't reliable, because something in your culture may say that, well, this is okay, but biblically it isn't, and it's tough for you to make that distinguish. So you think, well, the initial reaction to that is that I just need to be smarter. And the answer to that is no, you don't. And what you begin to discover is that the whole purpose of the Word of God and Christianity is to know the Son of God personally and intimately. And as you get to know Him, then you begin to realize that conscience isn't the answer. He's the answer. And what's ever of Him, that's what you have a desire for. If it isn't of Him, no matter what color it comes in, it just isn't the real thing. See? So you begin to, in your life, reject things that under your conscience or as a young believer would probably be okay. You wouldn't be sinful, but it'd be something like Charm says, can't I go enjoy a basketball game? I said no.
You were putting the cups on.
Yes, right. That's right. And I said, there's nothing wrong with basketball, but what I'm saying is and what I refer to was the hymn that we sing up here all the time, you know, as you behold Christ face to face, the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, the glory and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ supersedes other things you really thought you enjoyed. Not that you get legal about it, it's just that, well, I'd rather do this than that. See? So that's what I mean.
We've been having great discussions on this on Tuesday.
Yeah, we have.
And after coming back from our dive trip.
Oh, yeah.
You've been beating me up routinely on Tuesday.
So, okay. And literature, specifically literature, is that way. As you pick up things to read, you will find that, I mean, there's so much garbage in the bookstores today that are hardly worth going into, but you can still go to Barnes & Noble and buy the green letters. So. Yeah. Yeah. As the Christian grows, the Holy Spirit takes him deeper into the truth presented. True. One of the interesting things that the author talks about, he says, and it seems as though he renews the material every 5 or 10 years. I think that is really right. Because I find I'm revisiting things all the time, you know. All of the books that I really enjoy are all like this, because I've been into them a lot of times. And I, you know, something will come up and I'll think, oh, I read that someplace, so I start searching. And I find that I've underlined the same thing 4 and 5 times. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit is here specifically to take you deeper into the truths presented. Now, I think sometimes we use the word deeper truths as though that's the PhD plus 4 of Christianity. How would you describe the deeper truths? 2 words. How would you describe them?
Knowing Christ.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, true or false? It's not important to know deeper life materials well enough in order to share them with others.
False.
You have to be able to share what you know intelligently. Okay. Now, Let me give you an example of deeper life truths that a whole theology has grown up around someone who didn't, or several people, starting way back 30 years ago with a guy named Charles Solomon, that did not, they weren't thorough before they started writing books. And that's the One Nature guys. The One Nature guys began to understand identification and saw it as a freedom from self, which it is. But they went too fast and weren't thorough enough in the sense that they didn't realize that there's this little word in Romans 6 that says they're dead unto sin. They say sin died. No, we're dead to it. They don't understand that death means separation, not annihilation. And so that little point that doesn't seem significant is hugely significant in a believer's spiritual growth. Because if your sin nature died, then why are you still sinning? Well, what they say is that you have all these memories and habits. Now, wait a minute. Sin has to have a source, and it's not a memory. And it's not a habit. It's the sin nature. Okay? So we don't think early on that little nuance. And see, that's where it's subtle. Because people will call you up and say, boy, I just read this book by a guy named McVeigh about the identification truths. It's terrific. Well, so I want you to read it. So you get it, and you're cruising. You think, oh, this guy's got it made till about the third chapter. And then he starts talking about the sin nature died, and you sin because of habits and that kind of thing.
And there's always conditions.
Always.
How to reach your position.
And the problem with the One Nature guys is that you're stuck with your sinning. How do you get past that? See? Well, it seems like a small thing, but if you're counseling somebody or working with somebody, they're not going to grow past that until that little issue gets straight. See that? Okay.
Hey, Mike. When you're talking about sharing, this is sharing deeper life material. Mm-hmm. This isn't just sharing your faith.
Yeah,
witness, because then, the Spirit can work through you.
Absolutely.
It's really not you. It's not you working in their life. It's the
right.
Spirit. So,
right.
It's just trying to explain these deeper truths, right?
Yeah, and that brings up a great question. Do you think that the Holy Spirit would use an unprepared saint to help another saint grow?
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't. How could he?
Oh, okay.
The person's not prepared.
That's what you're saying.
You understand what I'm saying? Now, maybe he'll use them in the sense that, this is a good book, you ought to read it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But that person wouldn't be able to sit down and say, I'm going to buy you one of these. I have one. Let's get together once a week and we're going to go through this thing. You understand? And so that's why the thoroughness of the preparation, and sometimes you wonder why God takes so much time in your spiritual growth. That's why. Because when that person comes to you that God is going to minister to through you, you're going to have to be ready. And he's making you ready even though you thought you were ready years ago. And you're not. It's okay. Do you see that? Now, evangelism's a different thing. The life of the Lord Jesus being manifested through you, you can give the gospel to somebody, invite them to believe, and you can be a brand new Christian, and that works fine. And it takes, for lack of a better way to say it, it takes a minimal amount of faith to get saved. You agree with that? But it takes precise, accurate knowledge and information and faith to grow. So you better know the facts. Not legally. You just need to. It's the principle. You've got to know. Because the complexity of the sin nature and its deception and all the crap that goes on with it, you can be deceived really easily. That's why it takes so long, I think.
That's why you have such a spectrum of churches which teach everything from here to there.
Yeah.
And then nothing which comes from the Bible.
That's right.
Very little, at least.
Now, having said what I just said, it doesn't mean that someone who enters into these growth truths and has been in them a couple of years, that God won't send somebody to that person to be ministered to. But it'll be on the level that the person's on. It won't be beyond them. You see that? And so as you grow, you'll find, especially as God puts you through specific circumstances to cause you to grow, that your ministry will be along the lines that you're prepared for. Do you see that?
The reason I asked was because, I mean, that's such a cop-out that so many people will use. They'll say, well, I don't want to tell anybody about what I believe, or I don't, you know, if they come and ask, they, you know, they won't say anything about their faith because they say, well, I'm not ready, and I've not reached mm-hmm. that point. You're never going to reach that yeah. point. You're never going to reach a point where yeah. you can say, well, I know.
Yeah. Well, and one last thing, that God will bring somebody to you for your growth, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he brought Courtney in my life. It's helped me tremendously. I think they're called catfish.
Are there not people that you've met with that have gone to a certain point and then just didn't get it or kind of
sure.
dropped away?
Sure. There's a lot of them.
Maybe came back later, mm-hmm. understood. Mm-hmm.
Or they grew to a point and in their spiritual growth, what had to happen is that they just had to sort of ferment there for a while. You know, and so, and they were frustrated because they weren't moving on. Yet there was an awful lot of stuff going on. You know, it's like the oak tree, you know, it grows really fast for 2 or 3 months, and then there's the rest of the year for the solidification of what the growth is. And that solidification process appears to be standing still, but as much is happening there as the revelation and the growth, the quick growth part. Yeah. Miles even wrote a little book called The Pause. And that's what it's about. It's like, here you go and you're racing right along and all of a sudden the brakes go on and what is happening? Well, it's not because you did something. This is part of the process.
See? Do we know anything about a pause, long pause? What happened?
Well, Paul's interesting. He gets saved like all of us would like to be saved, you know, on the road to Damascus and the glory of God. Yeah, and then he's blinded, and then he's preaching right away, you know, the gospel. And then he goes to Arabia and he gets taught of the Lord specifically for 3 years, right? Then he goes up to Jerusalem, right? I love this part of it. And what do the leaders in Jerusalem tell you? Tell him, hey, Paul, you go back to Tarsus, don't call us, we'll call you. 11 years later, the call comes. 11 years.
That's incredible.
You know, that's after he spent 3 years with learning these truths from the Lord. So if you're 11 years in Tarsus, not a big deal. It's okay. You know, it's one thing to learn the truth. It's another thing to learn how and when to give them to somebody else. That's what takes the time. See that? And that does take a lot of time. Because a comment I make about myself, I've made a career out of telling the right thing to the wrong people. You know?
That's the truth. You may show it
differently. Okay. In sharing, we give a person a reasonable amount of time to get it, then move on to the next principle. What do you think? True or false? Ah, I got some false and true. What do you think?
It's those red flag words.
Yeah.
Reasonable amount.
Yeah.
that one is immediate red flag.
The answer is false. Because, yeah, the reasonable amount of time could be 25 years.
How long it takes them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And so I think what you'll find is if God brings somebody into your life regard growth truths, they may be there for the rest of your life. And so you learn to go slow. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to do it perfect every time. You're going to, you know, go too fast, not do it right, and that's okay. The Holy Spirit has that in control too. But you'll learn to keep your hands, as Miles would say, keep your hands off and keep your faith on and let the Holy Spirit do the job. And probably the most profound way that you learn this is you begin to realize how long and thorough the Lord was with you, which gives you the patience to be, you know, easy with somebody else. I mean, it took years to get to where we are where you are, no matter how old you are, and the person you're ministering to isn't going to get it by Thursday, you know. Thursday 2025, maybe, you know, but not next Thursday. So you learn that on the way.
I have this friend who, for 10, 12 years or more, he's asked me questions. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been interested in these things, and I try to explain, and he just doesn't get it. I know I don't know enough to really explain, and he won't read. He doesn't have the time to read.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing else I can do. You have to read. And
mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he falls in love with this girl, and they're reading The Purpose Driven Life together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, ah, no. but then he's reading, so I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. This is good.
That's
I don't know, because I was there. I had to fail, and then
mm-hmm.
before I understood there was something mm-hmm. more.
Well, and that's a perfect contemporary example. You know, you pray for somebody and sort of minister to them for a long time, and they don't care. And then something happens, and instead of grabbing on the good stuff you gave them, they go some other direction. You know, I mean, this year it's the purpose-driven life. Next year it'll be something else. 2 years ago it was the prayer of Jabez. You know, and that kind of stuff. And so, what do you learn from that? You learn to wait until the purpose-driven life doesn't accomplish what they're hoping it will. You know, that some circumstance comes in their life that they cannot deal with. That all of the contemporary Christian books and the church they're in can't help them, and they're really desperate. And that's what you wait for, because you know that a hungry heart is the thing. And so you can give the Lord plenty of time to make somebody hungry, you know. In the meantime, you hang with them and walk with them, you know, come in alongside them and, you know, and just wait. And maybe you can only feed them a seed at a time. But that's okay. You know. But if you're like me, you know, the first thing you did is call them up and say, you got to throw that purpose-driven life in the trash. And then, of course, that was a big hit, you know.
Yeah. And you have to backpedal and
that's
say, oh,
right.
That's a good book. Go ahead and read it.
which leads to the last question here. When you give some hungry heart the latest growth book, you expect it to have a monumental impact almost immediately.
Of course.
There's more dusty green letters in people's libraries. Somebody told me one time that the green letters is the number one book in Christianity, second read. It's the kind of book that you give to somebody, it goes on the shelf, and then it comes down years later. And it just sits there, because the soul's got to be prepared for that, for what's in it. See? So, anyway. Okay, let's talk about books. I found most of them. And here's what I'm thinking we ought to do. If you guys are interested, I'll create a checkout system, and you can check these out and read them, and bring them back. Some of them you can buy copies from me, like I found about 8 of these. Let's see, the first one was The Law of Liberty. I may have. The Law of Liberty by Evan Hopkins. I think this is available on the web, because this is a brand new book. Christian Literature Crusade. Okay. And it's a text. This was the textbook. Remember we talked about the Keswick movement? This was their textbook. This is what they taught in 5 days. Okay. So it's got all the right material in it. But as we discovered, to absorb this material would take 10 years. So that one's available. Born Crucified by Max...
Is that on your list yet?
Yeah, it's the first one.
Romans verse by verse?
Oh, I'm sorry. Romans verse by verse. I thought I already talked about it. This one. Yeah. This one's available from Kregel, and you can get it on the web. It's about $18. I have
on Abe's books.
This one too, right? I've got two or three copies of this, so if you want to buy them from me, you can. I don't know what whatever I paid for them, you can have them. But I usually keep two or three of these around because if a hungry heart shows up in your life, there's no peer in terms of commentaries on the Book of Romans than this guy. This is the best. There's only one error that I find in this, and I'm not even going to tell you what it is. You'll have to find it yourself. But it's really good. And as evidenced by mine, you know. Okay. Then the Law of Liberty. Born Crucified is a really good one, but it's hard to find. It's totally on identification. This one came from the Book Nook in Mexico, Missouri. But if you can find this one, this is one, this will really, how do I say this? This does a good job partnered with the Green Letters. This is all Born Crucified, as the title would say. Bone of His Bone, Hugo. Now, this is good, but let me give you a warning on this. Our friend Gene Edwards, anybody know who Gene Edwards is? He has bought the publishing rights to this. And he has a group in Georgia called the Seed Sowers. Gene Edwards is a guy that writes about identification but isn't equipped to do so. But he liked this book, so he bought or got the copyrights, and he's printing it. But I don't recommend any books by Gene Edwards, even though if you get this, it'll talk a lot in the introduction about Gene Edwards. I don't recommend anything that Gene Edwards wrote. Just, okay. Bone of His Bone, got that. Abide in Christ, Andrew Murray. This one was in my library, and I don't know where I got it. Christian Literature Crusade or Bible Truth Publishers. There's a really good Brethren distribution house in Addison, Illinois, called Bible Truth Publishers. They're a good source of books. And if you contact them, they'll send you a little catalog of the stuff that they distribute. Okay. Joshua, this was a new one to me, and I started reading it, and oh, is it terrific. It's Joshua by a guy named Rossier. Is that how would you pronounce his name? Yeah. I just love this thing. I just started reading it this week. And it takes the life of Joshua and others out of the book of Joshua and relates them, showing you the types that relate to spiritual growth. Old Testament. So that's a really good one. I'm liking it. What is Man? By T. Austin Sparks is a really good book, and this isn't in new print, but you can find this if you really look at it. What I liked about this book was that it explained the old man as good as anybody's ever explained. You agree, because you're a real fan of T. Austin Sparks. Most of T. Austin Sparks stuff is pretty good. This is the one you ought to have, though. Okay. Every Man Evangelism. I got that it? Here, this one. I have not read this, so I don't, by Conant, but he's a Brethren author. I haven't read this, so I don't know. An old book that the Lord has kept not only valuable concerning church outreach, but contains some outstanding chapters on the subject of identification. So, where did this one come from? Vintage Books in Russellville, Arkansas. So, Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. I don't have that, but that's available. Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. That book is written by his son and daughter-in-law and talks about his life and how, even as a young boy, like my son John's age, God put it on his heart to go to China. Because in his mind, there were a million Chinese dying every day that had never heard the name of Jesus. And that just broke his heart. So it goes through his life and how he goes to China. And he ministers in China for quite some time with moderate success. And then he wakes up to what we study. and that Inland China Mission just exploded, you know. And the great comment in the book I've always liked is that he went one day to visit some guy who was a bishop of some church in Australia, and they had, I don't know, 100,000 members or 200,000 members. And after meeting with Hudson Taylor, this guy's comment was, he said, you know, he said, I got a couple hundred thousand souls in my back in Australia, and they're about to break my back. This guy's got all China on his back, and it's nothing. It's like a feather. Because Hudson Taylor understood who did the work. Okay, so I recommend you get that, and that's available in a lot of places, I think. Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. I have these, and they're just a small booklet written by Schofield. Do you understand what the title is? The title has to do primarily with the divisions of Scripture from a dispensational viewpoint. Why? Here's the chapter headings. The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. The seven dispensations. We could debate about that. The two Advents, the two Resurrections, the five Judgments, Law and Grace, the believer's two natures, the believer standing in state, salvation and rewards, believers and professors. So it's a great little book. And I got a bunch of these if you want them. Let's see. What did I do to finish the rest of... Oh, here we go. The Cross and Calvary by Jesse Penn Lewis, I couldn't find that. And Jesse Penn Lewis is one of those authors that's about the only book of hers that I would recommend, because she got hooked up with Evan Roberts back at the turn of the last century in what it was known as the Welsh Revival. Everybody know what the Welsh Revival is? It was a huge charismatic movement in England. And it was...
Made a bunch of Welsh rabbits.
and the charismatic movement ballooned in Wales. It was huge. But the souls, the devastation from that was just awful. You know, even to today, they suffer from it. Now, Jesse Penn Lewis understood the identification truths, but she got hooked up with this Evan Roberts, who was the guy who was the spearhead of the Welsh Revolution, and she got polluted by him in terms of what the Holy Spirit does and doesn't do. So if you can find the Cross of Calvary, it's, you know, grab it. The New Life by Reggie Wallace, you can get upstairs. We keep this around and we publish it here all the time. This is a great book for young believers, and if someone has come to you, you know, about just entering into identification positional truth, this is a really good one. Okay. His Side and My Side by Harrison is a terrific expose in the book of Galatians.
Is that His Side?
His Side versus Our Side. Where's Von Joshua? Did I get them all? Did I miss any? The Wealth, Walk, and Warfare of the Christian by Ruth Paxson. I couldn't find it. So if you can find it someplace, you can share it with us. Here's another really good book that's available. It's called The Christian Secret to a Happy Life by Hannah Whitehall Smith. You should have this in your library. This is really a good book. And I found two copies of this that I didn't think you could get. The Great Doctrines Relating to Salvation. We teach this course here, but you ought to have this. Some of you probably already have this, but
John MacArthur.
No, by John Marchbanks. Arthur Pearson, In Christ Jesus. Not too bad. Did you guys come up with any books that you would recommend?
Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
Cost of Discipleship?
Yeah.
The problem with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and by the way, he and Miles were friends.
Really?
Or correspondents. Yeah. Is that he's fairly good in terms of explaining that there's more to Christianity than just salvation. But if you go back and read it today, you'll find he's got a lot of conditions. lots of conditions. So
that's a German way.
That's a self way. And one other book, if you can find it, and this one is called The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit by R-I-D-O-U-T. How do you pronounce that? Ridout? Ridout? This is what we're going to study next quarter, July, August, and September. This and a couple of other things. Our study for 3 months is going to be on the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
Did you find enough copies?
No. Actually, there were three of them I found, and I only got one. The other two, when I ordered them, they said they're no longer. So I don't know if I can actually reprint this myself or not. It's 225 pages. And I got another copy of this in softback, but it's so tattered, I'm afraid to open it up, you know. This one came from Ireland. So if you can find this one.
How much was the shipping?
Bless you. I don't think it was too bad because of this abebooks.com. That's where I got most of the stuff.
What was that one?
The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course.
We should open up a lifetime. Maybe give some.
Well, that's what I'm going to do. Next week, I'm going to come, hopefully, with the ones that you can check out. You can check them out and read them, and then don't keep them. Bring them back so everybody. But this is the kind of stuff. If you had these in your library, you'd have a heck of a library. You really would. Okay? And so if you can find these for yourself, terrific. If you can't, by next week, I'll have a system where you can check them out and take them and read them. But a lot of the stuff I think you can find, you know. And of course, you don't ever want to discount this. Now, if you're going to give somebody a book, don't give them this one. Give them the little one, The Principles of Spiritual Growth, which is the first chapter of this one. Okay, this you've been here now almost over a year, and we've gone through this in a year, and we went through way too fast, as you probably recognize. I mean, a five-page chapter in this, you can spend a month on. See? So, okay. Any questions? More. This comes under the heading of TMI, right? Too much information. Let's close. Our dear Father, how we thank you for at least making a lot of this material available that we might read it and through it and the Word grow in the knowledge and grace of your Son. We're so thankful of your proactivity in our lives that we are coming ever to be ever more intimate with your dear Son, and we pray in his name. Amen.